Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
You can talk me into it.
What, the wishbone?
Sure, you can talk me into
get
it.
Get out of here.
And the bulldog.
The Lombardi trophy could be in here, and I would pick it up and treat it like a roll-on deodorant.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, it is the day for the Blue Jays to make their debut in Buffalo. What a story. It was... I mean, of course, not something anybody would have conceived of as recently as spring training of this year. But we got into the pandemic and the quarantine life, and then it was Mike Wilner from Toronto at one point on our show. We're sort of checking in on the state of baseball, and he's like, by the way, have you guys heard anything about Buffalo as a potential home for the Jays? We're like, no. I mean, right. I'd never the first to hear anything anyway, but come on. And then... Toronto said yes, but Canada said no, kind of. And they needed a place, and we talked about Pittsburgh and heard about Baltimore. In the end, Buffalo. And today's the day. The Marlins and the Blue Jays, 6:37. Oddly and ironically, here's Ben Wagner, their broadcaster, who of course was the Bison's broadcaster, and he can't be here. Ben, if it makes you feel better, we can't go either. But especially, like, you seem like... high up on the list of people who should need to be at this game as a team play-by-play announcer, but nope. So, anyway, how does it feel? Is it just mostly strange or exciting or what?
Let's go back to March. I mean, it's just been weird since then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this specifically feels so strange to look at a place that, you know, I walked into day in and day out, and specifically in that broadcast booth called almost 800 games. And I thought about the moments and the players, especially in the last couple of years, right, where so many of these players had come through Buffalo and I had been right there with them. So, yeah, I mean, there's a huge void for me right now, you know, as we knock on the door of that first pitch coming up in a couple hours.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the pandemic has necessitated this, and that's why you can't be here. But Mike and I were talking earlier today about how you'd be the guy with, like, you'd be the secret handshake guy, right? if something had happened to Rogers Center, say, but, you know, at least you could travel with the team and the team could move about the city, like, you'd be kind of a go-to guy because you spent more time here than anyone.
Well, I feel like I've been the go-to guy, you know, with all the media and additional information that I've been able to pump one way or the other. And a lot of it's right here in the building, you know, with Dan Schulman and Buck Martinez, who do the TV broadcast and the pre and post game people. They've had some questions about how certain things will play. You know, my stream of text messages, even last night, as they were putting together some final pieces for an hour long pregame show, by the way, tonight on Sportsnet, just to make sure that they could fact check everything. And when it comes to fact checking, I was the guy. So, yeah, I mean, it's secondhand. You know, I know it's 325 down the line. I know that the wall in left field is 12 feet high. I don't have to fact check it. I've been there and we measured. So,
yeah. You would not be needed to help in the case of a rain delay, though, like when you're in the show. They don't need you for that. In the minors, maybe they need you for that. We need to get the tarp on the field. We need everybody. That happened to me in my short time as a AAA announcer. I see that also, Ben, I see that you're one of the cutouts.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. I got to be honest with you. We were surprised with the cutouts. My industry sources, mm-hmm. which are the same people that I called coworkers, they snapped a picture and said, "God, we cannot escape you," because we're right there behind the plate. So that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? That's pretty cool. I guess if I can't be there to call a major league game, at least the flat version of Ben Wagner can be there.
Yes. Ben Wagner on Twitter, Ben WAG247. It's the Blue Jays and the Marlins. Ben, what can you tell us to illustrate some of what has happened at the ballpark since getting this news? We've seen a few little videos, Nate Pearson walking through the tunnel, how the strength and conditioning area is now the home locker room, and certain things that you would know, you would probably be like taken aback by if you were like yourself, someone who went to the ballpark all the time and saw the underneath. What are a couple of those things that are maybe most impressive to you?
You know, and this is where I have the struggle. Like, you look at the pictures and I talk to people about what has changed. The ballpark essentially will not look the same that I remembered it when I walked out on August 31st of 2017, because the Blue Jays went in, and it's a little bit of a mental game here too. And to their credit, they bought extra time by moving two series.
Yep.
So that essentially gets them two more weeks to prep and do other things. There's a lot of fresh coats of paint. There's a lot more stickers. You know, it's very Blue Jay centric. They changed a lot of it with a specific reason to tell the players, tell the coaches that we want it to feel as close to Rogers Center, as close to home, instead of like, you know, the perception was, well, Major League team's just going to be shoved in this AAA facility. That's not the case. They reimagined many different spaces, and you mentioned a couple of them, including the largest active space that the ballpark has internally, and that is the area between the two clubhouses that not only was changed from the batting cage and the pitching mounds that are in there, the double barrel pitching tunnels, they made that the new home clubhouse. And we were talking with Ross Atkins earlier today, and he said out of the five facilities that they've already been to and seen, that is one of the larger spaces that might exist in Major League Baseball. And by having that, that means more players are together. At Fenway Park and in Atlanta, there were three separate home clubhouses because of the space that's necessary under Major League protocols to keep the players separate. Guys were seeing other teammates for the first time when they were jogging out of the bullpen to come into a game on that day. So, think about camaraderie and the way the clubhouse operates. These guys are around each other so much, so often. Mm-hmm. To have that removed from their daily routine, that was even more jarring. But they did such a good job internally and then on the outside of it as well, as trying to turn it into the Toronto Blue Jays home. And that's something they want to work to their advantage.
You know, I recognize that this will be a question maybe it'll be better to ask you in a couple of weeks after the players have had a chance to be here and play and just sort of live, if you will, in the ballpark day to day. I'm wondering, like, how the players are handling. I mean, there's a lot that they've had to handle here, right? I mean, the pandemic outbreak with the Marlins and the Cardinals, and travel, you know, restrictions moving around cities now, and now, of course, playing home games in a ballpark that, you know, a lot of guys on this roster came up playing AAA baseball in. I wonder how like open they are to it, or if they're accepting this as a good outcome.
I think they're accepting it as the outcome first and foremost. These guys have been through a lot. I mean, there are players that have not seen their wives, their girlfriends, their kids now going on 9 weeks, I think is the running total. When I was talking to one guy, another player said, "We have been through the worst of the worst," where they thought that they were going to have a home. They packed up, they were ready. And now for three straight weeks in the middle of the season, they are dragging their stuff around. I think after a couple of days, it'll feel more like home. It'll feel some normalcy. And the good news is that they can settle in a little bit for a lengthy homestand. And once you get a routine down and into a rhythm and realize you can step outside in fresh air and not only that, get some games under your belt, that'll be a major step forward for the Blue Jays. And I think they're welcoming some sort of normalcy into their life finally.
With Ben Wagner, it's the Blue Jays and the Marlins, 6:37. Jonathan Villar will lead it off against Hyunjin Ryu in the first at-bat in Buffalo in more than 100 years. There's 105 or there's 135, depending on whether you count the Federal League. What are you going with, by the way?
135, bigger number.
Really? Okay, that's why. Bottom line. More impressive?
Yeah.
ESPN did a nice lengthy article today on that, the 1885, you know, answer and what that game was, how Major League Baseball was in decline in Buffalo at that time, actually, in 1885. Ownership had sold off the top players or sold the team or something. And so Buffalo sports history was sort of like, I don't know, if you will, dark like that long ago. You getting into some of that, you know, today and in the this week, Ben? I mean, are we going to be hearing about like Buffalo's baseball history some?
I mean, I had the master's class for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think people want this, and this is part of, you know, just baseball broadcasting as well. There's more than the balls and strikes. There are current statistics that you can relay. There are current talking points that we're going to have to bring up, you know, because this is the state of the team, right? And this is the state of play in baseball. But we have the luxury of having a lot of time to fill over the next, not only a couple of months, but tonight, right, when we strap in for what it should be probably a three-hour ball game. Those nuances, I think, are very interesting to just listeners, and it'll help pass the time. And I think that is an important piece, not only of the history of Buffalo to relay to people in Toronto. You know, they didn't have a team for a really long time either, and that excitement and that having a Major League Baseball franchise come to Toronto was really important. I talked to people in Toronto about that all the time. It was exciting for them. Western New York is excited about this moment, too. So for the listeners there, maybe we re-scratch the surface on stories that they've maybe known about, but also I can relay, and especially when you get into kind of the modern era where professional baseball comes back to Buffalo in 1979 after it had left for a pocket of time. They didn't even have a professional sports team. A lot of people don't know that. So, yeah, I'm going to dive into all of that. And it's right here on the back of the hand, because we talked to so many people during my days as the Bisons broadcaster. So I got the history lesson from the books, if you will. But I'm telling you, in my day-to-day operations as a Bisons broadcaster and still seeing coaches and scouts and players that have come through Buffalo in those moments, it's still something people will talk about. And they always talk about when that ballpark first opened, and that place was jammed Monday through Sunday. You don't go to places and expect to see 17, 15,000 people on a Tuesday night in June. And yeah, Buffalo was doing that in the 80s through the 90s.
Right. I mean, there were season after season of a million fans, weren't there?
Consecutive.
I mean, that's really something. I mean, that was that we were all, you know, I was I was there in 88 for the opener, and like everyone was riding, you know, if you were old enough to be cognizant of it, you were riding the Major League dream ride, you know, like that was where it was going to end. And you know, that I think was, you know, of course the ballpark was new and cool in downtown, and that was a big factor too. But I think the allure of, we want to show Major League Baseball we can do this, is what drew the crowds. I mean, it wasn't the pennant race.
No, absolutely. They had to prove, right? Because this wasn't one of these, you know, giant markets that was after Major League Baseball. And that, in the end, proved to be one of the bigger obstacles here. Who won out? The Colorado Rockies. And the irony of time, guess who else won out? The Miami Marlins. And here's Miami coming to play a game in Buffalo. You know, it's definitely something that I think people continuously will hang their hat on, absolutely, because nobody did it. Now, the newness wore off, the drive to keep Major League Baseball in front, and you were going to do that by generating ticket sales and prove that you're Major League team. And I mean, guys, like, look at what the fan base did to save the Bills and all those rumor years, right? People never stop showing up, especially in Western New York.
It's really just obviously strange and upsetting or disappointing that fans who've been going to see the Bisons regularly for years can't be a part of this, or at least, you know, unless there's a cutout. But that's just how it is. Ben Wagner with us. You mentioned the space in time between baseball in Toronto, or teams in Toronto. I think you're referring to the Maple Leafs in the early 50s, International League maybe, to the Blue Jays in 77. And is that right?
Yeah, that's okay. Exactly where I was going. Yep.
Yeah, my great uncle pitched for the Maple Leafs. He was in between stints with the St. Louis Browns, and that was in 51.
That's incredible.
Yep. And I was at a card show in Toronto, the big show that they have there in May and November, if they still have it. And I found an autographed ball of one of those Maple Leaf teams that he played for, and he was on it. He died in 66, but his signature was on that ball, which was
one of my greatest finds. A great find, but I mean, just immediately you hear the story. Those are some of the things that in baseball will exist, right? And you hear those stories, yep. And the hair gets a little tingly on the back of your neck.
Yep. Ben, what about the Blue Jays team at this point? 5-8 to start the season. There was a big gap there where they weren't playing. Where are we at here with them as they come home?
Well, this team needs normalcy, and this is a massive step in doing so. So with that, I think the at-bats need to get better. And good news is, with a little bit of gameplay here without a lot of off days and because of some rescheduled contests with the Philadelphia Phillies, the Blue Jays are going to get a heavy dose of games, 28 of them in 27 days, and barely time to get your head above water, let alone, you know, relax. But that's the good news. The pitching rotation has a little depth to it. They could go with the six-man rotation if they wanted, and you're going to see two horses on the hill the first two nights in Buffalo and where they went. You know, and accelerated maybe the rebuild process by signing Hyun-Jin Ryu. He gets the ball tonight, and then the next guy that's lined up to be the ace of the future and maybe the face of the franchise will go tomorrow night in Nate Pearson. These are two guys that are going to be relied on heavily during this time to keep the waters calm enough where, you know, this offense can find a rhythm and get back in there. I think Hyun-Jin Ryu is a great matchup against the Miami Marlins, who have been dealt their own curveballs all season. But, you know, this is a team where they've rebuilt the rotation. It's stronger. It's not as strong as it can be, but it's stronger. The bullpen actually is a very pleasant surprise, even with the departure of Ken Giles, who's maybe getting back on a mound to start a throwing program this week, which is incredible with, you know, an elbow strain. You think a guy is in a short season is just going to be shut down, and he'll try it again next year. But he wants to pitch, and that's great news because he's an elite closer, and that only solidifies the back end of the bullpen if he's ready to go. But they've got four guys that are throwing the ball really, really well in the bullpen, and if it's a tight game, and there have been a lot of them, there's only been really one definite blowout, two kind of clunkers. The rest of the ball games for the Blue Jays have been very tight, very competitive, and boiled down to one or two plays that were made or were not made. And that's the difference of a young team that's trying to mature at the major league level right now.
Pearson was outstanding in Washington. I did not see him in Atlanta. He didn't have a shutout through whatever, 5-6 innings like he did in Washington, but what a great start for him.
Yeah, he's great. You know, the one thing is, and you're splitting hairs when you're like dissecting Nate Pearson now, and he's, you know, 23 and he's had three starts in the big leagues. His fastball command has been a little off. He's been working on it and a mechanical tweak trying to fix it. And that's going to be the big difference maker for him. His secondary stuff is great. His changeup is absolutely filthy. The slider has been a plus pitch for him since a very young age. And once that fastball comes around, now you're talking about three legitimate weapons with some even deeper in the repertoire if he wants to go to it. But he's definitely comfortable heading to the mound. He talked about it with us yesterday where he felt really comfortable in Buffalo last year. He loves the confine. He likes the backdrop. It's going to be a very, very welcome experience for Nate tomorrow night.
Where are we at with Guerrero, Ben? Like, are we getting anxious? I mean, this year has been so weird, but aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not fair, but with all the hype and the anticipation, we expected to see a lot more of a potent bat, a threat at an early age with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Somewhere in the lineup, not even necessarily in the middle of the lineup, but that's where you would love for him to be the driver in the middle of the lineup. But right now, you know, he's not driving the ball. You're not seeing the line drives, and even forget the home run total that you can become fixated on. On top of his offense, now there's this position change. And with him going to first base, it's a move that, you know, makes a little bit of sense if you want to try a guy and get him comfortable in a 60-game pocket, but he's not playing there every day. So I'm not sure where the organization is in terms of getting a young player comfortable in playing that position if he's only going to go there back-to-back days and then DH. He has yet to play three consecutive games at first base. So that's a little bit of a red flag to me to see where this is really going.
Yep, I get it. See, the Blue Jays team OPS so far is 642, which is not great. I'm trying to think of who would be a 642 lifetime OPS guy, Ben. Like, not somebody good.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why it's hard to come up with, because
I don't have a name.
Guys with 640 OPSs. That's why it's just not good enough.
All right.
And that's where this lineup is, it's lacking.
Yeah, higher or lower career OPS, Madison Bumgarner.
Than Vladdy or 640?
No, than 642.
Oh, Bum can rake. I'm going to go higher.
Yeah, higher. Yeah, higher.
Career OPS. I'm really not just dragging you out here. I'm 532. I had to look for it.
But he does, really? Wow.
He does have 19 career home runs.
Yeah, I mean, he can swing it. He's an athlete. Yeah.
Very good.
All right.
Ben, any questions for us?
I want to know the level of excitement from somebody that is so closely connected to the history of Buffalo, especially in the new park, like you guys are. I mean, you guys don't go to one game a year. I mean, you guys are there a lot. I know that because I saw you in the seats, right? So What's the one thing you're missing about a night like tonight in Buffalo?
Well, I don't know if I would go tonight, but I'd want to get there this weekend for Tampa, if that were possible, just to sort of breathe it in. And the weather's great. And I think I'm like most people. Bulldog said this earlier. The more people that are in there, the more fun it is.
Amen. Yeah.
So, I'm maybe not there as often as you think, but I definitely want to, you know, use it in the course of a summer in Buffalo. It's a part of the
yep.
You know, tradition.
Every time I would go, Ben, I would think I need to do this more often. Like, it's like literally an 8-minute drive. I live in Parkside. It's just like on the 33, boom, done, park, I'm there. Like, I mean, you know, I could leave at 6:45 for a 7 o'clock game and make it in. And every time I would just be like, I should make an effort to do this more than I do. And certainly a time like now makes me really lament that because,
I'd
love to be there now.
I found that with a lot of people in Western New York because the summer season is so valuable that as it comes to a close, people realize, oh, man, we haven't been to a Bisons game yet. And that's why if you look at the attendance totals in August, they're through the roof. I mean, it's so much fun. And the weather's so good. And I'm so happy that the Blue Jays are going to be there, not in April and May 1st, to be honest with you, because those days are a grind. But August and September are just truly beautiful months in Western New York.
Ben, thanks so much for coming on. It's great that we can check with you and then you're able to do it. What a weird year, but here's to all the people that helped make this happen downtown tonight.
Hey, man, raise a pint for them tonight because they worked their hind quarters off. I can guarantee you that.
And you're on, you said, an hour pregame? Are you part of that?
I will be part of it on television, yes. I'm part of the pregame show on television that begins at 5:30.
Okay.
Our network radio coverage and the Fan 590 comes in. In most cases, in Western New York, that's our flagship station. Mm-hmm. So you can get us starting right at 6:30.
Thanks again, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Ben, great job, man.
Ben Wagner and Mike Wilner with the play-by-play Marlins and Blue Jays tonight. Marlins at 7-3. I think they were 7-1 to start after all that drama.
Yeah.
But they've lost their last two games, maybe to the Mets. Is that right? I'm not sure that's right.
I know they got hot when they got back on the field when they, you know, brought in all the reinforcements. They ran off a string of games. I know that, but
they lost a couple to the Mets, but then the Mets lost last night 16-4 to Washington. Not great. Kind of a bad play there. There were probably a few of those. To quote the coach, not the manager, the late Wilford Brimley, but the coach in the Natural, when. In that one highlight section, the team is really terrible. There's an unassisted triple play, maybe, at second. And Richard, what's the actor's name? Farnsworth, maybe?
That's an actor.
Is that right? Is his name Red?
I don't know.
But he just sort of glances over to Brimley. He's like, kind of a bad play there. Which...
I'd like to hear that from Ben tonight, if there's an unassisted triple play, and it's just like the most bumbling play you've ever seen from a major league team.
Richard Farnsworth.
Yes. Richard Farnsworth. I like him in that movie.
Red Blow was his name.
Red Blow?
Yep.
That's the assistant coach, basically.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. The bench coach. Red Blow, though?
Yeah.
B-L-O-W?
B-L-O-W.
Red Blow.
Red Blow.
Okay.
What's the story there?
I know. Red Blow. Did you just run out of time? We're filming right now. We need a last name. I don't even think they ever say it. Anyway, I don't know. Okay, so we've got that. We've got the Sabre jerseys. We've got the cancellation, or at least postponement, of both the Big 12 and Big 10 and Pac-12 football right. seasons, and the NHL playoffs, Columbus and Tampa, plus the Bills. We're here for your calls at 803-0550. Joe and I had a conversation about the shape of Cheetos today that we could.
Yep. Oh, boy. I got to get in on this.
We could get back to. So lines are open, and it's Mike Schopen and the Bulldog with the update next on WGR.
Last year, we had a really good season. You know, we left a lot out there. And so I think that the team is really understanding that. We have a great group of guys, great chemistry on the team. So we understand it's building. It's finding different ways to make ourselves better, to improve our game so we can take the division from New England Patriots, just because we know it sits and it hangs out in Foxborough. So we know how important this year will be, just because we were able to make it to the playoffs last year. Felt short in the first round, but certainly we understand that if we can win our division, that makes our road moving forward a lot easier.
Jerry Hughes today on the Zoom call. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. Sorry. Thanks, Joe. Joe and I have been at odds all day. Now I have this wrong. It's not going to make it easier. Cheetos.
Was that Jerry or his alter ego, Gary? He's got that, right? There's a thing where he has, he talks about having a split personality or something.
I don't know.
Joe?
Mr. Unlimited is Russell Wilson's alter ego.
Mr. Unlimited. Oh my gosh,
I feel like I've read a few stories about Jerry and Gary or something, but all right, sorry.
Wilson. Maybe. Wilson.
I'm apologizing because you guys don't know.
But yeah, don't do that. I don't recommend that. We over-apologize, don't we, as
yes,
people?
Yes.
Yeah. That Russell Wilson is an odd duck.
Oh, he's very strange.
These videos of Russell Wilson, what's going on with that guy?
I can't tell if he's just bland or just unusual.
Yes.
He's both. I didn't know you could be bland and unusual, but
eerily robotic.
Robotic, yeah. Kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
It's funny because he plays the complete opposite way. But
he's great.
He's a house on fire on the field. He's awesome.
So Jerry Hughes or Gary Hughes mentioned New England. And Lamar Miller signing there. Joe, any interest?
Other than having him on a team that I drafted in February, not really.
The February fix team.
I want to stay as far away from that Patriots running back situation as I can. Michelle with the knee injuries, and now how much does he play if he's healthy? Damian Harrison plays a rookie. Like, he would be the guy I wanted to take a flyer on before, but I don't know. There's the Rex Burkhead is staying. I don't want any part of any of it.
One thing, the only thing I want to say about this is that, so LeSean McCoy signs with Tampa, and McCoy has just not been good for years. Like, he's shot, I think. Unless he, you know, was hurt or something, but he did not look good for Kansas City, and he did not, he had the stat where he was, like, the worst in the league after, not after contact. Was it after contact? What did Mike Clay had? Anyway, I don't have it right now, but I just, we saw it. Like, he was not an elite back anymore, and so it's been a long time since he was dangerous, and he goes to Tampa, and I just do not expect him to be dangerous, and I also then do not expect Tampa to expect him to be themselves. Miller was not terrible when he last played. He had an injury last, what, August? Was in the preseason last year he got hurt, and then he was done. It was a bad knee injury, but it seems like it's possible that he'll be good enough that he could mean something to their offense. Like, you know, this is more of a fantasy point. Does he change the AFC East outlook? No. But if he ended up being their running back because Michelle is hurt and wasn't good anyway, and because Harris is just like, I don't know, something they don't like about him, then I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
A couple things, like McCoy for sure, like the warning signs were there. I mean, we talked about it right up until he finally got, you know, the Bills finally, you know, let him go. Like that last full season he was here, like Chris Ivory was more effective than him. And that, you know, nothing against Chris Ivory, okay, but like, come on. You're paying a guy $9 million and Chris Ivory's a better option? That's not a good sign. So, like that, I just can't imagine that that's going to pay off for Tampa. The other thing is, you said Burkhead, and I don't know what – it feels to me like he's been on New England, like, since Kevin Falk was on New England for some reason, Burkhead. I don't know why I had that reaction, but I just feel like he's been a Patriot for 15 years, and I know that's incorrect. But just still Rex Burkhead. Like, that's how it feels when you say Rex Burkhead in New England.
I don't even think we've mentioned the guy who's going first in fantasy drafts right now from New England, which is James White. So
yeah, I always forget James White. Remember the time we talked about this Bulldog and I just didn't mention James White?
Right.
I never do. I never think of him.
Right.
He's going 31st among running backs right now in fantasy. Michelle 35th, Harris 55th, Burkhead 78th. Miller probably falls around, I would bet, where Harris currently is, 55. So
What am I going to do to remember James White?
Wait for Cam Newton to throw him the football a bunch. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. 28-3 is. I think of James White. I just think of that Super Bowl.
Oh.
I think of. I always think of Tom Brady giving him the truck that he won for being MVP because he thought White should have been it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you see that. Last year is another season where the running back might have deserved the Super Bowl MVP.
Mostert, or not Mostert.
Williams.
Williams.
Damian Williams, yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't want any of it. No clue what's going to happen with them, so.
Columbus 2-1 after 2?
Yep.
Yeah, second just ended. They got a late goal there. I didn't see who scored it. I just saw a celebration.
Oliver Bjorkstrand.
All right.
So one of my friends from the island had an idea last night. Let's whip together a playoff pool like the ones we used to do. And I went along. And so I spent a little bit of time today just banging in rosters to a website so that we could have this action by 3 o'clock today. And I'm very disappointed in myself because however many times in the last few weeks when talking about the playoffs in any sport, talking about the upcoming sports, like you got to play the underdogs. Because who knows? And in the first round, in hockey, there were upsets. Why would there not have been?
Yep.
Best of five, pretty even teams anyway. It's a fluky sport in a short series. Anybody can win, so why would there not have been upsets? And there were. Toronto went out. Pittsburgh went out. Edmonton went out. They were fives and sixes, losing to 11s and 12s. Yep. So here comes this pool, and like I'm up for it. Not much money. I'll throw an entry in. And what do I do? Favorites.
Right.
No guts.
Right, of course.
No guts.
So I take it you don't have Oliver Bjorkstrand on your
I do not.
Your pool team.
I also do not have Pierre-Luc Dubois, who scored in the first period and scored a hat trick the other night in the first round.
Right.
Like,
you're not expecting Columbus to upset Tampa again, but, you know, who knows?
What you need in this is not only that, but for them to win at least a couple rounds and to have right. them drag out. You want games. You want your team, your players' teams to play the most games so they can rack up the most goals and assists. And, you know, underdogs, underdogs, underdogs. Then time to put the lineup in Vegas, Colorado, Washington, not like the chalk, but Washington and a little Tampa. You know, I'm always on Carolina. I look, oh, Boston? Let me stay away from Carolina.
yeah, right.
Philadelphia, really? They're that good now? Let me stay away from Philadelphia. They're the one.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, why did I bother? Then so I'm the person who types in all the rosters, and they're almost all the same players. Like, there are nine of us in this pool, and everybody, pretty much, everybody's loaded on Vegas, and some Colorado, and some Ovechkin, and, you know, Kucherov.
That's why you got to pick one underdog and just stack up on that
right.
team. Because if that team advances, you're going to have a significant advantage.
Right.
But I didn't want to do that. I thought about it this far. I didn't want to do that against eight guys. You want to do that against 50 guys, I think, and like really have a dark horse. And I was able to do that to some success over the years in that pool. But against eight, I thought that wasn't even worth trying. Because
you've got to finish first, right?
Yeah, first or maybe second to okay. get any money. But that's right. That's right. Maybe
I think
it's the same principle.
Even with eight, I think I would do it. I think I would absolutely do it. Like, you're talking about 50, but...
Who would you have been on?
Yeah.
I would have gone... I think I would have gone Carolina. I think that series would have deterred others.
Yeah.
And I think that team is legitimately good. And if they can just get the saves,
right.
they can absolutely beat Boston.
Isn't Boston legitimately good?
They are.
Boston is, but, you don't want to I don't want to put too much stock in what the play-in stuff looked like.
Yep.
I mean, Carolina swept. Boston was lousy, mostly. And they did sweep Carolina last year in the conference final. If you might have that haunting you. But I was impressed with Carolina. Columbus, more and more, like just watching, I said yesterday, and I wasn't exaggerating, I watched every minute of the series with Toronto, and man, you get a team that has two D-men, and they play together, Werenski and Jones, and I mean, it's just, half the game, like you're in great shape, you know, like, they don't always control play, but those guys are just monsters, they're mm-hmm. so good. It's something I'm really enjoying about this restart is just getting to really appreciate guys that, like, if it were a normal year and these games were all on at 7:30, I'm probably not picking Columbus out of the hat to watch that night. You know, there's probably a more appealing, bigger name, bigger team, whatever matchup. But, you know, these games are on mostly standalones in the middle of the afternoon. So I'm watching Columbus, and I'll tell you, man, like, to me, they're live.
Yeah, I get that. And then it's Tampa, and they beat them last year. I thought maybe people would stay away from Tampa because of that. That didn't really happen. The Islanders.
Well, what about Montreal if you didn't like Philly?
I know. Do they score enough? The Islanders are interesting because, like, they're the team with more thought that I think I would get to because they are only a slight underdog in their series, and they're always overlooked. Like, they're just always overlooked. So... You know how it goes with me in betting. Usually I can make a really good argument and get somewhere, but I almost never cash.
Right.
So just, you know, react accordingly. If you're trying to take my advice, you'll probably have some fun and make and impress a little bit, but you'll almost never make any money at it. That's how it goes.
You make some pretty good bets, but never a great bet.
Ooh, you were on them, and then they go out in the second round, and no one cares because really, you get nothing. You get nothing.
Right. This wasn't a draft, right? So you couldn't see other people's teams while
I would have enjoyed that more, but some of the guys were like, I'm drunk. I don't want to do a draft.
If that had happened, I just thought about an idea of like, what if you just loaded up on only Hurricanes and Bruins?
Max of six.
Max, okay.
18 players, max of six per team.
That's tougher.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. How about the Sabre jerseys? How about the Blue Jays? We're talking a lot about those two topics, not in the last few minutes, but we will get back on the beam here after this break on WGR.
We had been preparing a couple of months ago or a month ago for the Jays depth squad to be here. So a lot of the work for the players' spaces were being mapped out to be compliant with the protocols that Major League Baseball has in place, even for the depth squad. And so that's when it kind of started. But then it was a whole new ball game once you started introducing Major League Baseball games, another team coming in. And so, yeah, that really upped the ante. And
Mike Butchkowski on WGR. He was the longtime Bisons GM, now president of Rich Baseball Operations, the Bisons and two other minor league teams. 6:37, Marlins Blue Jays at Salem Field. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, just talking to Joe about a trade offer I got that I just cannot believe was real. That ever happened to you?
No, I've never received a trade offer ever in my fantasy life.
That wasn't, you know, that was amazing or anything else.
No, yeah, just never. I've never made an offer for a trade, nor have I received one. So what happened? What was so atrocious about this offer?
I haven't decided how much I want to say about it yet. I like the guy, but I just told Joe. Joe's the first person I told, and I don't know. How would you describe your reaction to it? Miffed?
I mean, it was hilarious.
Just, you know, you played enough leagues.
Is it maybe enough to not like the guy anymore? Like, is it that bad?
No. Good question. No. It's not enough to not like the person, but it does affect how you think of them or what you think of their, you know, their game. It does.
Right. Or like, what you think they think of you.
That can be right, too. Who do you think I am? Like, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not pumping out my chest, but like, give me some benefit of the doubt for knowing, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't have to be like that. You can just think, this is what this is worth to me. I'll make trade offers where I know I'm getting the better deal if the guy says yes, but it's circumstances. Like, this team, maybe this team's really good and I don't need to play around with. I'm not desperate. And if you're desperate, you might have to make a trade that isn't good just to try something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this one just threw me. Let's talk to...
Shake up the room.
Yeah, I don't need to shake up my room. Let's talk to Ricky on WGR. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'm calling from Toronto. I'm a big Bills and Jays fan. Bills, Jays, and Sabres fan. I just love, just want to say, like, I, as a big, as much as I'm a Jays fan and a Bills fan, I love the fact that you guys are taking on my team from this city, but you guys are taking on a risk. Like, my city won't even let our team play here. I just want to know how, like, you guys in Buffalo feels about taking on the aspect of people from other states coming into your city to play baseball games, having what baseball is going through.
Well, there's no particular consensus on that necessarily. We've talked about this a lot in the last couple days, how it feels to us to have the Jays here. I'm proud of it. I'm excited about it. But obviously it's limited when you can't see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt a little it was funny. I was more conflicted about it the first time we talked to Ben Wagner, which was the day I think the whole thing was made official, and he said, contrary to what we'd heard from some politicians here locally, that the teams, both the Jays and the teams visiting, were not going to be subject to any kind of quarantine. In other words, they would be at a hotel and be able to go around the city and go and just live their lives and do whatever they wanted like they normally would in a baseball season. And I was like, I'm not sure that sounds great. And I don't think the Marlin thing was raging by then. It might have been. I don't remember. But as it turns out, that is not the case, that they do have to follow. Like, baseball has shut a lot of that down. So I'm not – I guess I don't have much concern about it at all, because I'm pretty confident that teams will keep a lid on it.
It is a long time to go without your wife and your kids. And being able, if you're single, to go try to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. It's a long time if you're – 24 and you're just not able to do any of that for months? I don't know. Doesn't sound great. Thanks, Ricky. Go Jays. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with lines open on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.